I found the door locked, which was good. I banged on it until Rusty slid open the peep. Let me in.
You could say please.
He swung the door open, and the first thing I saw was the big old dragoon colt in his hand. He seemed to favor that antique. That was good, too. He had a lamp lit at the roll-top desk, but the rest of my office was pitch dark. All right, you can go home.
Hey, you mad at something?
No, it was a good ride, and now I'm here. Go home.
Quiet here, too.
Prisoner quiet?
Sleeping, last I knew. What's wrong?
You don't ever trust a woman. You think you know a woman, and she's the exact opposite.
You run into a woman?
She run into me.
What's the deal, Cotton?
Never mind. It ain't nothing. Not yet.
You could thank a man for staying late and putting in extra.
I never thank anyone. You done your duty, so you're dismissed.
Oh, it's a woman.
Rusty collected his gray felt Stetson and headed into the night. I slammed the door behind him and latched it tight as it would go. There was not much night left, but I could snatch an hour or two in the other cell. And I'd be ornery all day. I checked for messages, but it had been a quiet night. And nothing on the log, either. No drunk spent the night sleeping it off. No cat burglars snatched any woman's brooch. No one busted into the hardware and stole all the shotguns. It was chill in there, but it wouldn't matter. I'd pull a jail blanket over me and settle down. I put the cell key in my britches so I wouldn't lock myself in. Them bunks was nothing but a sheet of metal, but I'd slept on worse. So I peered into the other cell, which was murky black, and then lowered myself. Cold iron ain't exactly a comfort, but I was so tired, it didn't matter none.
You were talking about my sister.
Yeah, Queen. She pulled a greener on me.
For what?
So she could talk. I can't figure you brags out.
Neither can I. But she's breaking the mold. Well, maybe she's the lucky one. I got stamped in my father's cookie cutter. I've never asked anyone for anything, and I never will.
She said she was sorry about what your pa did, shooting and hanging me. And she asked me to help you if I would. Now, ain't that something?
It runs contrary. Pa always told us never to apologize.
It was like an earthquake. A brag apologizing to me. Asking for help. In all my years, I never heard of it.
You're not old. Just a few years older than I was.
I'm getting some rest now. I rode out for a little talk with Rubel. It didn't come to much.
In a few days, you'll walk me out to the courtyard and up some steps. There won't be a thing I can do about it. If I don't walk, you'll carry me. If I don't want to go, I'll be taken. My hands will be tied behind me, so I'll be helpless. And you'll put that hemp noose over me, tighten it some, turn it off a little so it breaks my neck clean. Then I'll feel the floor go out from under me, and I'll fall fast, and there'll be a crack. And then nothing. A flash of pain, and then nothing. No heaven, no hell, no hearing birds sing in the morning. I just turned 18, and that's as far as it went. Are you satisfied I did it?
I ain't heard nothing to the contrary.
Maybe I did. I don't know. I have no memory of it.
The court heard you were falling down drunk.
I'd had one or two. I wasn't falling down. But next I knew, I was on the floor looking up. People standing over me. Gun smoke in the air. They were checking my six gun. Said all six rounds got fired. And there were three dead.
You know them three? Rocco and Foxy and Weasel?
No. But they were T-bar riders. Everybody in there's T-bar.
Tough customers. Some wanted Dodgers on them. I looked through all them Dodgers come into this office, and they weren't upright citizens.
Why did I shoot them?
You asking me, boy? Answer it yourself.
The Jonas boys were horse thieves and rustlers. Rocco was a con man, crook, ravisher of women, things like that. They tell me that's why I shot them. If I did. Somehow I supposedly knew all that and went in there and killed them just like that. I never popped a shot at the regular T-bar cowboys.
That's how the testimony went, Kane.
I guess I knew more than I thought I did, killing off three crooks.
I guess you did. Your pa, he must have given you the scoop on them three.
No.
Then someone else did.
It doesn't make any difference. When you got a few days left, it doesn't matter. I don't know what happened, and that's how I'll die.
Who else was in the last chance?
I don't know, Sheriff. I walked in, asked for a drink from Upward. He hands one to me, and I don't remember the rest.
Well, I guess there's fellers who blank out, get just enough sauce in them.
Well, maybe I deserve hanging.
Not for me to say, King. I didn't like laying there in the same jail room with him. So I took the jail blanket with me and settled into my swivel chair and tried for some shut-eye. It wasn't far from dawn anyway, and I might as well look a little like I was on duty. I got under that blanket in the chair, and I let DeGraff in. He pitched his hat onto a peg, a trick I never could master.
How come you're here, Cotton?
How many times I have to tell you don't cotton me? Just call me Sheriff. I never liked that name got hung on me, and I hold it against my parents. They were okay in the rest, except Pa never earned nothing. But they hung that name on me, and I just as soon trade it.
How come you're here, Cotton?
I've been riding.
Story is, you got held up by Queen.
Word sure gets around. A man can't take a leak in Doubtful, but everyone knows about it. DeGraff poured some ancient Java from the speckled blue pot, which hadn't had a fire under it for days. He saw the cell block door was closed, and then settled close.
I wandered into the Last Chance last night just to give it the eyeball, and Upward nodded to me sort of strange. It was full of T-bar men, and they were all sucking beers, one or two sipping red-eye, and mighty quiet. None of them had hung up their artillery, either. It was all just dangling from their waists, not on the pegs Upward put in the wall. It was peaceful enough, except that it was all fired quiet. I just smiled a bit and went out and hung around under a porch in shadow. And pretty soon they came out of there, got on their nags, and rode out. There was maybe 10 of them. I let them go. They wasn't causing trouble, and they was just heading out. But I was a little curious, so I slipped back in there later. Just a couple of old soaks in there trying to blot out what's left of themselves. Well, Cotton, I leaned into the bar and asked Upward what it was about, and he just smiled. But then he fessed up. Them T-bar men, they were doing a little practice run. One of these moments they're going to hit the jail, drag King Bragg out and lynch him at the nearest cottonwood tree.
Upward told you this?
He did, while polishing the bar top like he always does when he's talking. And one more thing. He said, word is out that Bragg's putting some heat on you to free the boy. If you keep poking around trying to open a closed case, then the T-bar will settle the case its own way, with its own rope. Just a little warning was how Upward put it. You quit poking around and they won't break down the jail door.
That makes two bunches wanting to bust in. Bragg wants to spring the boy and get him out of Wyoming, and this Rubel bunch wants to speed up justice a few days. I imagine we got our hands full. You up to it?
I always knew I'd get myself killed.
I got a little shut-eye, not half enough, and headed back to the office. They was all there when I knocked and got let in. Three ornery deputies. Rusty, who come over from the wild side a year or so earlier and joined up with me. He was the only one in the lot who was cheerful now and then. And them pals of his, DeGraff and Bertel, both a good piece older than me, tough as barbed wire, and the sort never to waste a bullet, because they always hit their target the first time. Them three made a bunch all right, and the county was halfway safe because I had good men standing with me. None was married, none wanted to be. They had all been drifting cowboys once, selling their skills to ranchers for 40 and found. I was glad to see them together, because we had a little talking to do. Rusty, he poured himself some weak old Java from the blue speckled pot. The others, they were kind of waiting for me, like they had expected a little talking this afternoon. They were right. King Bragg is enjoying his visit?
Last I looked, he ain't taking doom easily, and has gotten to pacing. Not any direction you can go in 10-foot cage.
He should have thought about that before he killed them T-bar men. I got myself some of that coffee, and it was bad. Make some fresh one of these weeks. But them deputies, they just lounged around, staring at me. All right. We gotta do some thinking. It's hard enough for me to do, Annie, so maybe you can do better. There may be trouble coming at us any time. Admiral Bragg's itching to bust his boy out of here, and we can count on it if I don't come up with something to spare the boy. And he'd like to get a hold of his boy and ship him to California or some ugly place like that out of my grasp. He's got his own way of putting some heat on me, and it just riles me up some. Now, he ain't the only one rubbing me sore. Crayfish Ruble's rannies are getting ready to bust in here and hang King Bragg before the execution. Now, they got word that Admiral Bragg's putting some heat on me to spring his boy, and they've warned me to quit looking. It's over, and the boy's gonna get his neck in a noose. And the word is, if I don't quit looking, they're gonna bust in here and have their own necktie party.
Both sides?
Both sides. Maybe 20, 30 men on each ranch.
And we're boarded up.
It ain't easy for them to bust in. This here place is made from quarried sandstone. It's got a slate roof. There's big wooden shutters for the windows, and they got a few firing ports in them. We got a few scattered guns in here, just in case they bust the door in and try to rush us. I'd hate to try to break through 410 gauge loaded with double-aught buckshot.
Chimney?
That's a bad one. If we got a fire in this stove, they can plug the chimney and smoke us out. That means no fires in our stove. We drink cold coffee from now on. They didn't mind it much. Now, they're likely to try to draw us out. Trouble out there somewhere. But trouble, lawmen needed, so we rush out of here. Now, I ain't got much of an answer to that. If there's trouble, one or more of us gotta go. I'm thinking maybe I'll stay out of here, and you three guard the prisoner. I'd do better roaming around.
You're jailing us and keeping the best job for your lonesome self.
Now, we got another possibility. They might try to starve you out. A siege where they got the jail surrounded and hope we run out of food and water. The Graf, it'll be your job to keep plenty of water in there and keep them chamber pots and thunder mugs emptied and keep some hardtack or crackers or jerky or something in there. Stock up and put it on the county bill. And there's more. If Admiral Bragg and his bunch rush this place, you let him know he's putting his boy's life on the line. I hate that, but if it's war, they can expect us to do what we gotta do. That won't work with them Ruble boys, who'd just tell us to hand the boy over.
Cotton, that's not good. Our job's to protect King Bragg any way we can. That's the law, and that's justice.
Man, you sure are right. I'll back off. We'll protect that boy as best we can, any way we can. Thanks, DeGraff.
Uh-huh.
That do it?
I think we got it covered. Ain't nobody gonna bust in here without paying a price.
And I hope they know it. I'll see how we're fixed for powder.
Good idea. We worked out a schedule that would keep two deputies in there at all times. DeGraff headed out to the pump and jacked some water into a pail, and then filled up the spare. After that, he would head for George Waller's store and get some food that would last and keep a man's belly at bay. I didn't want no hungry, thirsty, desperate men in here if the place was under fire. Three or four men defending a jail against maybe 25? I didn't like them odds, even if we had got ourselves into good shape. But the thing was, it probably wouldn't happen. Neither Crayfish Ruble or Admiral Bragg would be as dumb as that. Busting a jail and shooting at sworn peace officers would put them on the wrong side of the law for the rest of their days. There was still a worry or two when I got to chewing on it. In a few days, a crew would start to put up the gallows in the courtyard square. What if them Bragg men tried to stop it? Tore everything out? Well, I'd deal with it. Maybe a town posse could make sure them timbers rose the way they should. I talked to the town merchants about it. Still, the whole thing made me itchy. This was war, and a good way to win a war was to hit where no one expected to be hit. What had I missed? Where was my weak spot? I sure didn't know. I wish I had a few more aces in my deck, but I don't know how to be anyone else, and as far as I could see, I'd got us set up for trouble pretty well. I made sure my boys was getting the place ready for whatever might come, and then I left the deputies and headed toward Saloon Row. I wasn't done looking into this business, not by any means. The town looked quiet. There was a few ranchers and their women loading up at the mercantiles. The Wyoming flag barely flapped at the courthouse. The square in front of the courthouse was quiet. I wanted the gallows builders to put it in the middle of the square, well away from the streets. I'd asked Will Wiggins at the lumberyard about getting the gallows built, and he'd said he would bid on it. He had seemed uncommon eager. I guess it'd give him something to talk about at the potluck suppers over at the Rock of Gibraltar Chapel, where he and his woman went at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. The services at that outfit lasted 3 hours, with a lot of hallelujahs, and I was awful glad I wasn't of that persuasion. But after that Sunday, he'd backed off and said he didn't want the business. So, I got Lem Clegg to do it. There was something else I didn't know nothing about, which was making a noose. A hanging rope is no lariat. It's entire different, and I was still looking around for someone who could make me one. I'd asked around some, but so far I hadn't come across anyone to make one for me. That was a noose for sure that Admiral Bragg's Rannies dropped over me, but I sure wasn't going to get anyone from that outfit to make one for me. I hitched my holster around. I hated carrying heavy metal all the time, but nowadays I had to. I drifted along Wyoming Street and finally hit Saloon Row, where the smell of stale beer drifted out of every batwing door. It wasn't much different from the rest of town, mostly board and bat buildings thrown up fast, but it had a different smell. I went into the Last Chance looking for Upward. The place was dark and quiet.
You want a shot?
Nope, just want to talk some.
Well, what do you got for me, huh?
I had a little meeting with Queen Bragg in the middle of the night. It didn't come to nothing.
That's because you don't have what it takes, Sheriff. Now, if she met with me in the middle of the night, it'd be different.
Okay. Where are them two witnesses? The ones that testified that King Bragg plugged 3 T-bar men.
Oh, you mean Plug Parsons and Carter Bell?
Yeah, them two. They're the ones that saw it happen. And you were there, too.
Well, I heard they left the country cotton right after the trial. They drew wages from crayfish. Word was they were scared that Admiral Bragg would string them up, and I can't say as I blame them for pulling out of here. That's what I heard, but I don't know the truth in it.
They say where they was heading.
Nope, and they didn't want no one to know. Crayfish told me they'd drawn wages.
Well, that leaves you as the sole witness, Sammy.
Me? I didn't see nothing. I was in the storeroom.
I remembered at the trial, Upward had testified he'd served up some red-eye to King Bragg and then gone to the storeroom to find a bung starter. The shooting had come in a burst when he was back there, and he was afraid to come out until things quieted, and then it was just a quick peek. King Bragg was standing there with an empty 6-gun, and there were 3 T-bar men down, leaking blood and life. King, he says he didn't know anything, and first thing he knew, he was lying on the floor looking up at you and some others.
He never was down.
The jury thought so, too.
I heard all the shots and a lot of breaking glass, and I stayed low until it quieted. He was standing there holding an empty gun when I come out of the storeroom.
Anything else happening?
Sure, half the bottles on the back bar were busted and my best booze was draining into the sawdust.
Well, how come the bullets was coming into the bar? I thought King Bragg was at the bar when he shot them T-bar men.
What? How should I know? Bullets fly all over the damn place. All this because Queen batted her big eyes at you in the night?
Think what you want. Did King Bragg start to reload? Get out of here? A man with an empty gun, he's pretty quick to shuck the empties.
Well, I'm tired of this palaver, Cotton. You find something else to tell me, and I'll find something else to tell you.
I tipped my hat and left, with Sammy Upward staring at my back. Sunlight felt good. The two witnesses were gone, and Upward said he didn't see the shooting. King Bragg said he was knocked out and lying on the floor, but Upward said King was standing with an empty gun in his hand. Upward said a bunch of his bottles got busted. The court testimony was that King Bragg was shooting from the bar into the rest of the saloon. It sure was a puzzle. Critter was nipping at me,
hey,
and I didn't blame him. I'd been neglecting him. He hated being in Turk's livery barn, and usually took it out on me with his big buck teeth. If I had big teeth like his, I'd nip him back. I tried to get over to see him every day, but sometimes I got waylaid. He kept track, and let me know when I was letting him down. If I really messed up, he kicked the hell out of me. I found some oats and poured into the manger, but he wasn't done with me. He backed around until he was shoving me into the side of the stall, just to let me know who came first.
All right, we'll get out this afternoon, so cut it out.
Well, he decided his oats was more interesting than me and got to licking them out of the manger.
That horse will likely kill you someday.
Admiral Bragg had ridden into the livery barn on his handsome blood bay, and Queen was beside him on a palomino. She was riding side saddle this time, though she was sitting astride the other night when she stopped me. I guess maybe she did what her daddy wanted when he was around, and what she wanted when he wasn't. But in town, she was always riding side saddle, very ladylike. I thought she might favor me with a little smile, but all I got from her was a haughty stare. I should have known. Howdy, Queen. Admiral. I helped her down as he dropped off the bay. Her hand was colder than a glacier. Lazarus, the hostler, took them horses off and began brushing them down.
I'm glad I found you here, Sheriff. We are gonna visit my boy.
All right. I don't keep family from him. We stepped onto Wyoming Street, and first thing I noticed was a mess of horses, most of them with the Anchor brand on their left hip, tied to the hitch rail in front of Mrs. Gladstone's. That was the name of the saloon, a few doors up from the Last Chance. Mrs. Gladstone's sampling room was where the Anchor boys collected. I knew a few of them nags. Jesse Tilton was in town, and so was Wiley Wool. Both of them were handy all-around cowboys, tough as they come. Wool was quick with fists and knew some oriental moves that many could usually flatten someone he was brawling with. And there were other Anchor rannies over there, most of them plenty familiar with sidearms. Sure as could be, there was Big Nose George's dun horse and Spittin' Sam's and Smiley Thistlewaite's plugs right next door. Most of the Anchor Ranch outfit had pulled into Doubtful, and I knew they were all wetting their parched throats in there. This was starting to get interesting. All right, come along.
Who?
Me, with Mr. Bragg and Miss Bragg come to visit.
Is that all right?
Yeah, open up. The door swung open and Rusty was in there with a drawn six gun. He let us in and then locked the door behind him. Rusty put on the log that the Braggs are here. Then I remembered he couldn't write none. Never mind, I'll do it. I can spell pretty good and didn't have no trouble with Queen. It was Q-W-E-E-N. Rusty, he's looking at me and then at Admiral, who was all swelled up in a gray swallowtail coat that seemed to bulge here and there. I nodded to Rusty. Looks like we gotta do a little checking here. I mean, we got to frisk you, sir.
No, you don't.
Well, hell, I can't let you in there to palaver with King unless we do. And come to think of it, I can't let Miss Bragg in there. She ain't friskable. That got me two icy stares.
Take me to the boy and be quick about it.
There was no way I could back down. Not against a man like that, who probably had a few derringers, stilettos, and loose cannons under that lumpy coat. Plus a couple of jail keys, a hacksaw, a file, and lockpicking stuff. And there was no telling what Queen Bragg had under there, and I got red in the cheeks just thinking about all them hiding places. But there wasn't any way out of this except a frisking. You can take off that gray coat and slide out of the boots, and Rusty here will give them pants a quick pat.
Bring the boy here.
No, he stays locked safe and tight.
Tell the boy he will live a lot longer than you.
I might tell him you said it.
Tell the boy if they harm a hair on his head, there's gonna not be one stone standing of this jail and the courthouse. That Doubtful will disappear, that Puma County, Wyoming will vanish from memory, and every official with it.
Well, I guess that's a threat. Sure sounds like a dilly. We'll write it up.
If you can write.
That made me mad. I did five grades and part of the next. I turned to Queen. You want to add anything, miss? She closed her eyes, and for a moment I could see pain radiating from her face. Then she stared at me.
That goes double for me.
All right. Since you ain't cooperating, you'll have to get out now.
I think we'll stay.
This wasn't playing out the way I'd hoped it would. 20 of them gun slicks over at Mrs. Gladstone's, and the boss and his daughter in with me. I saw Rusty chewing on this too, and nodded to him to open them doors. If they wouldn't get out clean, they'd get tossed out on their ass. I didn't waste time. The sawed-off 10-gauge was right there, so I simply stepped over and jacked the cartridge in and swung it toward the gent, who was too busy glaring at me to draw his own artillery.
You wouldn't.
Obstructing justice, Rusty peered out, then swung the door open. You got two choices. Leave now or let yourself get frisked before you get taken to the boy. If you're carrying guns or tools or keys, I'll toss you in there with him. thought that feller was gonna explode, but he didn't. He steered Queen out, and Rusty and me stood at the door a moment, watching the brags of a moose. They crossed the square and vanished somewhere.
It ain't over.
You mind watching the place? I'm going out there.
You're crazy. They're fixing to bust King out.
I think they were, but not now. Admiral thought he'd slip something to his boy. I'm gonna wander into the sampling room.
You're crazy, Cotton. We're in the middle of a jailbreak. What if they grab you and hold you hostage, trade you for King Bragg?
Don't do it. No trades. That's an order. No matter what they threaten, just don't.
Good way to get yourself killed.
Where's DeGraff?
He's coming in at 6.
All right, you've got the afternoon to kill. Talk to King. Maybe you'll find out some things.
He'll just tell me he's pure as the driven snow.
Well, he might be at that, Rusty. Truth to tell, Rusty, I'm kind of itchy about this. I wish the trial had got into things a little better. Maybe the Bragg boy's being hustled to a grave he don't belong in.
He belonged in one by the time he was 11.
Doubtful was pretty quiet. It sure was a nice May day. There was a knot of horses down at the end of Wyoming Street, and most would be anchor branded. I started with a sweep around the courthouse square, thinking it would make sense to look for surprises. I poked down alleys, looked into mercantile windows, and checked brands of horses. But I sure didn't spot nothing amiss. I stopped in the courthouse, waved at the yawning clerks, and peered into empty rooms, and then hiked out to the main drag, Wyoming, toward Saloon Row. But I didn't go into the sampling room. Not yet. I wanted to see what else was going on there. Like maybe a bunch of horses at the hitch rail in front of the Last Chance. There was only 2 or 3 nags there. Not much happening in Upwards Watering Hole. He was probably sitting on a stool there polishing the bar, which is what he did when there wasn't anything else to occupy him. I liked Upward. One of these days he'd pour me a free drink. It hadn't happened in 3 years, but it would. If Upward liked you, you could drink cheap. Mrs. Gladstone's sampling room was long and narrow, with double doors in front and a skinny bar down the right side. There was a row of tables along the other wall and a sort of poker parlor at the rear. I pulled open the door and stepped in. The sampling room had always been a little different. It was the cleanest saloon in Doubtful. The glass shone. The floor was shiny and waxed. The spittoons were emptied daily. It sure was dark. Mrs. Gladstone, she hadn't lit any lamps yet because the sun was still shining and enough light got through the window in front to let her pour. She was behind the bar, not doing much anything, wearing her usual white smock and one of them white thingamabobs on her hair to keep it from flying in all directions. But pretty near the whole payroll of Anchor Ranch was in there, all right. I didn't see Admiral Bragg or Queen, but the rest was lined up in a long, solemn row down the bar, 1 foot to the rail, and a few were sitting at the tables. Her dealer, Kronk, sat at the rear, presiding over an empty green table with a single lamp burning to supply light to players. But he sure didn't have no customers. The place was uncommon quiet. Most of them slicks didn't even have a bottle of Valley Tan in front of them. They was just standing there. Alvin Ream, Big Nose George, Spittin' Sam. They was carrying sidearms all right. There was a lot of metal hanging off of one or both thighs. Well, there was no law against it in Doubtful. They looked me over, and I looked them over, and one thing was clear. The whole bunch of them was waiting for something. Well, they sure weren't missing anything about me. All them dudes was studying me like I was an anarchist or something. Their gazes was drifting toward my handgun, studying my boots for hideouts, checking the back of my neck for knives in easy reach. Well, screw 'em. I spotted an opening between Big Nose George and Spittin' Sam and bellied up.
Good afternoon, gents.
Mrs. Gladstone, she sort of sidled toward me, like maybe she wanted to steer clear of any lead flying in my direction.
Red Eye, ma'am.
Nice to see you, Sheriff. You hardly ever drop in.
Orderly place, ma'am. Sampling room's always quiet. Anchor Ranch folks are all model citizens.
I was laying it on pretty thick, but no one smiled any. She brought the brown bottle and settled it in front of me along with a tumbler and a pitcher of cold water.
Thank you, ma'am. Looks like you got a full house this afternoon.
My best customers.
But they weren't buying much this afternoon. It looked like sarsaparilla in most of them beakers. I poured myself a generous shot and added a splash. Here's to the anchor. You fellas don't want to salute the Anchor Ranch? What happened? Y'all draw wages? I couldn't get a rise out of any of them. George, how come you ain't toasting the anchor? You got shut of the place? Big Nose George eyed me a moment.
Sheriff, Admiral Bragg, he's just the finest gent this side of St. Louis. Now, we'd all be glad to toast our excellent employer, but we're all going out on a picnic any time, and we'll toast Mr. Bragg and his beautiful daughter Queen when the time comes.
George, that's a noble idea. Spittin' Sam nodded solemnly.
We all love and respect Miss Queen, so it's gonna be sort of a Sunday school affair as soon as we get word from Mr. Bragg.
Yeah, that's it.
That last remark came from Smiley Thistlewaite. Well, here's to Queen.
She's a beautiful lady, Sheriff.
This from a gent down the bar. He was one of them in the hanging party, so I gave him a cold stare. After that, things dipped into silence again. But all them fellers was watching me. They was maybe calculating how much the hooch might slow me down if it came to that. The hooch wouldn't slow me down, because I had no intent to pull the iron out of my holster. This here was the strangest business I'd ever seen in a saloon. It was like a bunch of saints dropped in. They was all behaving themselves mighty fine, for some reason or other. It reminded me of one of them billboards put up by the temperance women that said, "Lips that touch liquor will never touch mine." I always figured them women deserved it. But here was a whole saloon full of gents with their bark on, sipping sarsaparilla. Who was I to complain? Not a one of them was breaking any law as far as I could see. Mrs. Gladstone, she just nodded cheerfully and winked at me. I thought about arresting the whole lot and charging them with good behavior, which would have got them fined $10 and jailed overnight. No one in Doubtful wants cowboys around that are all behaving themselves. There ain't a nickel in it. I polished off my red eye, left two bits on the counter, and thought to quit the place. But first I turned to Big Nose George.
Now you be kind to grandmothers and dogs now.
I kiss grannies and kick dogs.
I kick grannies and kiss dogs.
Them fellers standing along the bar, they just smiled and nodded. There was no point hanging around the sampling room. So I pushed through the batwing doors onto the peaceful street and wondered why it felt like the quiet before the storm. I made my way toward the courthouse square, and then I spotted that Blood Bay and Palomino and another saddle nag in front of the Stockman Hotel. It wasn't much of a hotel, four rooms and a dining room, but Doubtful didn't need much of a hotel. It was mostly empty anyway, except for an occasional whiskey drummer peddling his sauce. I'm always looking for ways to get into trouble. So naturally, I was wondering who belonged to that horse tied there beside the Blood Bay. So I steered my aching feet, I'm enough of a cowboy so I hate to walk more than 10 yards, over to the hotel. Riding boots, like most cowboys wear, are an invention from hell, and Western bootmakers ought to be hanged from the nearest hayloft. Sure enough, in the saloon and dining parlor on the left, there was Admiral and Queen, and with them was Judge Axel Nippers, the self-same judge as sentenced the boy to be hanged. They was all chomping on fillets of beef and mashed spuds. Last I knew, Judge Nippers didn't own a saddle horse, which made me all the more curious about this business. I decided then and there to have me some lunch. Howdy. Admiral, he nodded curtly, and Queen peered down her long nose at me. And the judge was too busy wolfing down beef to bother. No one was inviting me to the table, at any rate, so I continued on to another one within hearing distance. Mrs. Garvey was all a-twitter.
Why, Sheriff, we've not seen you in here but twice.
I have what they're having.
Oh, you'll enjoy it. Sautéed fillets in burgundy sauce with pickled beets.
I just smiled, since I was getting in over my head. I liked chicken fried steak, maybe once a year, and deviled eggs now and then. Well, whatever the palaver was at the other table, it quit real sudden, and that threesome was busy patting lips with real cloth napkins and hurrying through the chow. I was sort of hoping to pick up a notion or two about what was happening around Doubtful, but I saw it'd be a lost cause. That bunch wouldn't even talk about the weather. I tackled them sautéed fillets and pickled beets, and when she laid the bill on me, I pretty near fainted. It was about a week's salary, and all I got for it was a mess of silence at the next table. Them three lapped up their chow and retreated, so I was all alone in there, dining like I could afford the ticket. I took a gander out the window in time to see the judge walk back to the courthouse and the Braggs ride off, leading the spare and riderless horse. It sure was funny. There was the Braggs, the judge, a spare horse, and down the street was every gun-toting hand the Anchor Ranch could come up with. But nothing happened. Or maybe something would have happened if I hadn't been barging around town looking after the peace. I thought I'd never know. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. But the whole business was probably intended to bust King out of my hospitality and send him off to California or some awful place like that. Maybe they was going to snatch the judge and then try to exchange him for King. Maybe this was some sort of jailbreak that I couldn't figure out. Maybe not. Maybe them Anchor Ranch rannies was going on a picnic just like they said. Well, someday I'd get the rest of the story. Something like this didn't just vanish into air. Someone would be babbling, and my guess was Queen. I scraped the last coin out of my purse and laid it on the lady and got out of there. It sure was a nice spring day. I didn't see no riot at the jailhouse or hear shots being fired, so I walked over there. This time, DeGraff let me in and locked the door behind me. Anything perky around here?
No, I'm on catnap duty.
There's something out there. A lot of anchor men in town, at the sampling room. Admiral Bragg and his girl are floating around.
So I heard.
I can't get a handle on it.
Maybe it's nothing.
I pulled a key off the wall and headed back into the cell block. King was pacing round and round his 10-foot exercise yard. He had a disheveled look about him. First time I'd seen that. Somehow he always kept himself neat. You all right?
That's not a question that needs answering.
Your pa and sister came in.
I heard about it from your deputy.
I couldn't let them back here without them being searched.
My father usually has a dozen plans all going at once.
I think he wanted to bust you out. There's a lot going on around here I'm not smart enough to figure out.
No, I'm not either.
He was carrying. Maybe she was too. She had more metal in her underwear than a tool and dye maker.
You don't talk about my sister like that.
I figured he was going to slide you a derringer or two, and she had a collection of rat-tailed files and blank keys for you to work on.
I wouldn't have taken them. I'm not interested in a breakout. You don't know me. I want one of two things. To be proven innocent and cut loose, or to die. I don't want to be called an outlaw, or a fugitive, or a criminal on the run. I'm a proud person, Sheriff. I won't go for half a life. I won't go for a life on the lam. If he'd laid all that stuff on me, I'd have turned it over to you the moment they left.
Tell me again what you know.
About that afternoon, I walked into the Last Chance for a drink. Yes, I was looking for trouble. I like trouble. I had a few drinks. Upward poured me some red eye, and I sipped and heard some laughter behind me. That's all I remember.
And?
I was on the floor looking up at several men. There was gun smoke in the air. My six gun, a peacemaker, was in their hands, and every chamber was empty. If I did it, I did it. If I didn't, I didn't. I have nothing more to tell you.
Upward says he didn't see it. He says he was in the storeroom getting a bung starter when he heard the shots. And he says the two witnesses, both T-bar men, have drawn wages and vanished.
Then there are no witnesses you can call a liar.
Was there anyone else in there?
A few T-bar men.
Well, that's more than the court was told about. Do you know who?
I had my back to them, remember? I was buying some booze.
King, if you was to tell me what to look into, who to talk to, what would you tell me?
Crayfish Ruble was having some rustling trouble. Some maverickin' too. He was itchy and wanted to stop it.
Now how do you know that?
Drover's talk, Sheriff.
What should I ask Crayfish?
Ask him about the rustling.
King glared at me, wheeled away from the bars, and settled on his iron bunk. It was plain I wasn't gonna get another word from him. I hurried over to the courthouse and found Judge Nippers in his office. He turned toward me, scowling.
It's about time you showed up.
What was that all about?
Admiral Bragg had some plans for my future, but you changed his plans. Well, sit! Why are you standing there like an idiot? What are you, my butler?
I eased down into one of them oaken swivel chairs and pushed my holster around so it wouldn't jab at my leg. I never much fancied carrying 6 guns all over. Them things are so heavy, I'll probably end up with one hip lower than the other.
A social visit, he said. Lunch at the hotel. When I saw that extra nag tied next to theirs, I knew what's what, and made sure I had my old pepper box handy. You ever see one?
He pulled a pepper box pistol out of his bosom. The thing had 5 barrels. By yanking on the trigger, one could move a loaded barrel under the hammer and discharge it.
Sprays a lot of lead, sometimes in my face. Damn thing. But it's a croaker, all right.
He put it away, for which I was grateful, because them pepper boxes are famous for going off unexpected.
Admiral Bragg had nefarious design, Sheriff. He wanted me to vacate the sentence, call off the necktie party, and when I told him the hell with that, he suggested maybe he'd carry me off, and then trade me for the boy. Hold me hostage, in case that doesn't quite sink into your noggin.
How was he gonna do that, Your Honor?
The Virgin Queen had some artillery aimed at my crotch beneath the white linen tablecloth, and we'd casually finish our delicious repast, and then the Braggs would cheerfully escort me to the 3rd nag out there, and we would cheerfully ride away. Only you came in, which shifted the game a little. Yeah, it no longer seemed like a good idea to shoot my balls off.
What are all his men doing in town?
Oh, who knows? Maybe just keeping Rubel's crowd at bay. Rubel's gang wants to bust into your lockup and hang the boy, just as badly as Bragg's gang wants to bust him out. But I think that what happened today wasn't what Admiral Bragg had in mind. His first purpose was to spring the boy, arm him, and help him get out. But you kept messing him up, Pickens. Putting yourself between him and his plans. Now, isn't that a thigh-slapper?
I ain't got much thigh-slapping in me, Your Honor.
Well, what you gonna do now?
Arrest the pair of them. They were obstructing justice.
Well, good luck. And who do you want to replace you?
King Bragg.
Well, make sure he's hanged first. And if you value your privates, don't let Queen point a gun your way.
Well, she already has, Your Honor. And she didn't pull the trigger. By the time I got outside and was walking the courthouse square, I could see all them Bragg cowboys were gone. There was hardly a horse hitched on Wyoming Street. I debated whether to ride out to Anchor Ranch right off and drag the pair of them into town. That didn't seem too bright an idea, but you never know. Hitting them when they least expect it is a good idea itself. But I let it pass. It was getting along to drinking time. So I strolled toward Saloon Row again, just to see what pot was boiling over. There was a few T-bar men sipping suds in the last chance, but things were quiet enough for a weeknight.
You want some, Sheriff?
Sarsaparilla upward rolled his eyes like he was a long-suffering saint and uncorked one for me. I laid a wooden nickel on the bar, which he snatched up. A lot of anchormen over to the sampling room this afternoon.
Nah, that's a nutless bunch.
I wouldn't want them busting down the door to my jail.
That's what they're up to?
Could be.
You know what, pal? You worry too much. Now, why don't you just take a siesta and let it all work out? You got good deputies, the jail's well guarded, gallows goes up in a few days, kid gets a necktie, it's all over. So quit worrying.
Yeah, maybe it's the wrong necktie.
Oh, I give up on you. Don't come in here no more. I don't want to hear all your worrying.
Upward was polishing the bar something fierce, so I knew he meant it. I'm not quitting.
All right. All right, I tried to tell you. You'd been warned, and now I'm warning you again. A certain person told me to tell you to lay off. You did your duty, and that ended when the kid was sentenced. Now leave it lay. If you don't, well, you'd be pretty dumb.
Who says? Who? Who? Huh. I thought so. It had to be Crayfish Rubel. Upward looked like he was about to reach for his sawed-off scattergun, but I just smiled, and he got a hold of himself. You tell Crayfish, I'll keep on looking into this, and if he messes with me, he'll be in the next cell from the kid. I was feeling blue, and got out into the fresh air before I did something I might regret. Upward was a friend, and now I was running out of friends. My pa, he didn't have any ideas about how to be a lawman, but my ma would have told me to stick to what I know. Now Upward was in there polishing that bar, and I didn't want to know what he was thinking. The town was as quiet as a Quaker prayer meeting, so I took time to say hello to Critter. He sure was getting ornery, boxed all day in a stall. I didn't have much choice. When I needed him, and usually fast. He was lounging in the Turk livery barn down on Medicine Bow Street, so I hiked in there and wandered down the aisle, and there was Critter all right. He snarled at me, and he plainly was fixing to commit murder if I stepped in there. A month in a stall for him was like life in the pen for other criminals. But then, I saw something that pretty near stopped me cold. Hanging over that stall was a noose. It hung down from a rafter and swayed softly, the noose a little over Critter's head. It was a well-done noose, neat and clean, and the rope was fresh hemp, straight out of the hardware store. Critter, he snapped and snarled. I didn't pay no attention. That noose got my attention real good. It was not just tacked on there on the rafter either, but wrapped around and tied down like it was getting set to be used. And that made me madder than a stack of hornets. So I climbed the gate, pushed Critter back, and tried to untie the knots. But it was up there solid and wasn't just stuck there. And I finally had to pull out my jackknife and whittle through that hemp until I could pull it away. It sure was a professional job. And it sure was there to say something to me, though I didn't quite know what. I didn't know anyone around the county could tie a noose like that. It was a real hangman's noose. So orderly and tight, it sent a chill right through me.
Ow!
Critter bit my arm, which got my attention.
Cut it out!
I was ready to bite him back. I set the noose aside and curried him. But he was being ornery and kept crowding me into a wall. So I quit the currying. He thanked me by pulling my hat off, but I snatched it away. He was so barn sour, I felt bad.
We'll go out tomorrow. I got stuff to do.
He sawed his head up and down and would have taken a piece of my shoulder out, but I dodged and slammed the gate shut. It sure wasn't my day to make friends. I hid the noose in the stall a moment and got a hold of the livery man.
Turk, you seen anyone around here with a rope?
Everyone's got a rope.
I mean a big, thick hemp rope, not some lariat.
Hemp? You mean like the stuff in the Emporium?
Yep.
If I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Well, who's been hanging around here since yesterday?
Oh, the usual. Half of them too broke to pay their bills.
Who's come by to pay you?
I don't keep any books.
Well, how do you know when people owe you?
All in my head and on my fingers.
Does Admiral Bragg keep horses here?
Not regular.
How about Crayfish Ruble?
He sometimes buys a week or two.
Has he been around?
Not since the three killings in the trial.
Well, who else?
None of your damn business.
Turk wheeled away, heading for the pen outside, and I let him go. I collected the noose and headed for Mrs. Gladstone's sampling room. I found her in there, sweeping sawdust. The sampling room was a fancy joint compared to the last chance. She looked up, and I handed her the noose. She took it gingerly, staring at me.
Give it to Admiral Bragg and tell him I'm tired of nooses. Next noose I get, I'll make sure it fits his neck.
Oh, Mr. Sheriff.
If we're going to have nooses around here, I'll make sure they fit any neck that deserves it.
She peered at me with real fear in her eyes.
Tell him that, or maybe I'll make one for you too.
She clapped a hand to her mouth. I was plumb tired of nooses.
Yes, sir.
I didn't care. Doubtful was up to its crotch in nooses. I left her holding that limp rope, knowing word would soon reach the Anchor Ranch and into the ears of Admiral. I hiked back to the sheriff's office and jailhouse, and sure enough, someone had tied a little noose, just a little feller made from cord, onto the door handle. It was hardly 6 inches long, something someone could stuff in his pocket and not be seen with. But there it was, tied around the handle and dangling there. It's me.
You all right?
Good as gold.
He opened. I pointed. That little noose was dangling from the latch. He stared.
Guess we ain't popular.
At first I thought to cut it loose, but then I decided to just let her hang. That noose sent a message in all directions. Next thing I knew, there was Judge Nippers steaming over from the Pima County Courthouse with the little cord noose that was a brother of the one hanging on our door, clutched in his gnarled fingers.
This insult to my divine spark was hanging from my doorknob.
Guess someone's of a mind to string you up. You got any objections?
Now and then.
You see anyone in the courthouse?
That mausoleum? You could fire a grape shot down the halls and never hit a live mortal during business hours. Nope, I don't have the slightest idea. And no one else over there does either. I asked the same question.
There's been a few nooses put here and there. One real one hanging in my horse stall at the livery barn. Another hanging from the doorknob at my office.
I hardly know which side's having all the fun, but I'm ordering the gallows built for half a dozen. If they want hangings, they'll get more than they bargained for. You got any notions?
Admiral Bragg's crew was in town, but they're gone. There ain't a T-bar man in sight.
Tell me about your nooses.
Well, one was hanging from a rafter above my horse, a real one, thick hemp, put there by someone that could climb up there and tie it down. These here little ones, anyone could slide them onto a knob.
Which side do you figure?
Well, Admiral Bragg's outfit already threatened me if I hang the kid. They're just making sure I get the message.
What about Crayfish Ruble?
Well, what about him? It's not his boy gonna stretch rope. He told me the other day all he cares about is getting it done. Justice. His men were killed, so he wants justice.
Any threats from Ruble?
Not toward me or you. It's the Anchor Ranch they're thinking about. If Admiral Bragg's bunch bust the boy out, there'll be a war around here. But as long as the hanging goes forward, they're not getting their drawers in a knot.
Well, get me some proof. By God, I'll string up the whole lot.
Nippers twirled his noose around like it was a trophy and then stuffed it into the pants of his ancient suit, probably the only one he owned. He patted the bulk bulging from his breast pocket.
You think a pepper box can't hit what it's aimed at?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll show you a thing or two.
He whipped that miserable firearm out of some pocket down inside his bosom and began eyeing targets. No! But he just ignored me and finally settled on some Dodgers that had been pinned to the rear wall because I thought them fellers looked familiar to me.
Judge, put that thing down!
But he was squinting along the top of that handheld Gatlin. A slug cut through an eyeball of Lorenzo Baca. The lips of Rattlesnake Billy vanished. The forehead of Art Hammer was perforated. Judge Nippers blew smoke away and smiled.
Yeah, it's all in the practice. I'll leave two chambers loaded to give me fangs.
And with that, he plunged outside. Don't know as I've seen the like. Them things put lead everywhere but straight ahead. Judge Nippers sure was an entertainment all by himself. The smell of gun smoke lingered in the office. I went and looked at them Dodgers. Nippers hadn't missed a shot. He'd nailed Baca, sure enough. It occurred to me that Baca looked a lot like Rocco, one of them three that King Bragg had sent to heaven, or wherever. I thought maybe I'd write the sheriff down in Refugio County, New Mexico, and see if Baca ever used another name. I'd had about enough of Admiral Bragg's meddling, and thought maybe to take a couple deputies out there to Anchor Ranch and haul his skinny butt into town. The best place for the boss of the Anchor Ranch was in the cell next to his boy. I wouldn't have no trouble rigging up a few charges to hold him on. I headed back into the cell block to make sure King Bragg was all right. He was lying on his bunk.
I heard some shots.
Judge Nippers making a believer of me.
I wish he'd save one for me. Get it over with.
How come you went to the last chance that day?
Make some trouble?
Well, how'd you know there'd be any T-bar men in there?
They told me.
Who told you?
I don't know. I had too much to drink.
Someone told you?
Yeah, somebody said there was some T-bar hands looking for a fight. And if I dodged it, they'd know what to think of me.
A fist fight?
What does it matter? I walked into it.
You went alone, looking for a brawl with that bunch.
I guess so.
Something don't add up, King.
You ever been called a coward, Sheriff?
Mostly they call me lazy. My ma, she used to scold me.
Not what I asked.
Yeah, a few times. Made me mad.
I'm not one. I'm not afraid of dying. If you were in my shoes, would you be?
I'm not in your shoes. Then he turned his back to me. He was just counting the minutes and hours left to him. or trying not to. I kept wanting to palaver with him, but he clammed up, so nothing came of it. I hiked on out of the jail and locked the door and thought I'd patrol the town. Bertel would be on until supper, and then DeGraff would come in for the night. I'm going out.
Better than sitting around.
I opened the door and discovered a regular parade out there. A mess of horsemen, all heading my way. And Crayfish himself was leading the pack on a ewe-necked gray horse that should have been sold for wolf bait. Them fellers was armed to the teeth. Most had a pair of six guns strapped to their waists, and most of the others had rifles or shotguns, sheathed or in hand. A few had regular bandoliers loaded with shiny brass hanging over a shoulder. This here was a regular army. Worse, they spread out in a way that looked like they was priming for action.
Crayfish, if there's trouble, you'll be answering first.
That word answering is an interesting illusion. Actually, well done, an interesting syntax. My congratulations. We've appointed ourselves your posse. We are going to keep the peace and doubtful until the hanging is over.
What are you mouthing about?
A posse. We're a posse, Sheriff. We're an armed body of men acting in official capacity on behalf of the legally constituted law officers of Puma County, Wyoming.
You ain't nothing until I swear you. And right now, you're not keeping any peace around here.
Ah, Sheriff, you don't quite comprehend. Our town is under siege. Anchor Ranch, in all its power and glory, threatens to perform a lawless act. Namely, breaking the young multiple murderer spawned by its owner out of your lockup and spiriting him away from the majestic reach of the law.
He ain't getting out, and I can take care of it myself. We don't need a posse.
Well, you got one. I've leased the upstairs of Rosie's parlor for the duration, and that will be the T-Bar headquarters until justice is done.
Sounds more like the T-Bar's hindquarters, Crayfish.
That too. My main worry is that my staff will be too weary to perform its duties adequately. We will need alert and ready men to patrol the streets, guard the courthouse, and especially rim your jail with stout-hearted stalwarts. A week or two upstairs at Rosie's might weaken my force, but that's a risk to be endured.
Some risk.
At any rate, Sheriff, the T-Bar posse will be patrolling doubtful day and night. We will ensure good order at the sampling room and other watering holes. We will ensure that no illicit armies of the night sweep into your understaffed jail and attempt to spirit away the prisoner. We will, of course, frisk all visitors to the jail, making sure that lawyers and such don't smuggle instruments of violence within. And, of course, we plan to accompany you on your daily rounds. Henceforth, wherever you go, two of my best men will be serving as your deputies, lockstep with you. Two other trusted men will protect Judge Nippers and the courthouse. Nothing will escape their attention.
Thanks, Crayfish, but I'll just handle it all myself. I don't need your posse.
Well, your thoughts are noble and your skills are unquestioned and your bravery is legendary. But we're here and we're staying and we're protecting Doubtful until justice is served. And you'll find me at Rosie's henceforth.
How about you just get out of town and leave the peacekeeping to those that got a badge?
See you around, fella.
Crayfish waved his hand, and all them horsemen wheeled around. A pair of them dismounted and posted themselves in front of the jail. Two more headed for the courthouse. I thought the ones ordered to guard my office and jailhouse drew straws and lost. The rest of that bunch was gonna get acquainted with Rosie's lady.
We ain't done yet. Cotton Pickings continues on the next CD.